بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولكل أمة جعلنا منسكا ليذكروا اسم الله على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام، فإلهكم إله واحد فله أسلموا، وبشر المخبتين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أيام العمل الصالح أحب إلى الله تعالى فيها من عشر ذي الحجة. قالوا: يا رسول الله، ولا الجهاد؟ قال: ولا الجهاد إلا رجل خرج بماله ونفسه ثم لم يرجع من ذلك بشيء، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا رب، صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable علماء كرام، حفاظ of the Quran, brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this entire world, which has multiple cities, countries. But the most beloved city has been chosen by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever He wishes and desires. And it's His choice and prerogative if He gives excellence, credit to any of His creation. It is Makkah Mukarramah, every salah multiply 100,000 times. That's a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire universe. Every man can be created by Allah. Why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the choices of the creation of Allah? That's the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the system of the 12 months. And every of the 12 months are important. Why is the month of Ramadan most auspicious? That's the decision of Allah. And from the days that we are going through at the moment, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that from the days of the Islamic calendar, these days are highest ranking in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the month of Ramadan is without doubt, in comparison to days, it's the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. There is none of the days of Allah, meaning from the entire Islamic calendar, in which any good deed is more beloved and appreciated by Allah than the a'mal and the actions that we would do in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah carry great rewards. What we need to get into is some routine and cycle. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that every day's fast carries the reward of 1 year. And we know to fast 1 year is a task. Yet one day's fast in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, only the first 9, the 10th day is not permissible. That every day from the first of Dhul Hijjah to the 9th, a person is getting the reward of as if he has fasted for one entire year. And the night, the ibadat of the night, carries the reward كَقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, as if we made ibadat on Laylatul Qadr. Yet Laylatul Qadr, month of Ramadan, we know that إِلْتَمِسُوا لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. That search for Laylatul Qadr and the night of power in the odd nights, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Yet is nothing to search for. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already guaranteeing us, if you make ibadah on these nights, then you will get the reward as if you made ibadat in Laylatul Qadr. So it's very simple for us. All we have to do is fast by the day. And especially now, you know, in some of the Salaf used to say that the month of the season of winter, Ash-Shita'u Rabi'ul Muslim, winter is the spring of a Muslim. That this is the time tahajjud is so easy. I mean, to wake up for tahajjud is not difficult. If a person goes to bed, even if it's 10 o'clock, even if it be 10 o'clock, and you have your comfortable 6 hours of sleep, you still waking up 4 o'clock. Never mind, take a little bit extra power nap also. Half an hour more, no problem. You still wake up 4:30, we can still make ibadat and tahajjud. And the fast of the day is so easy, especially now that the Dhul-Hijjah is in this season. It's so easy to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fasting during the day. It's an early breakfast and it's a delayed lunch, just for a few hours. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq that in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah we excel in ibadat and we increase our ibadat. Let it not be that these days of Dhul-Hijjah and especially the nights come and they go. The only thing we did was drive to one farm, we chose one animal, you slaughter it on the day of Qurbani, wah wah, I did the ibadat of Dhul-Hijjah. But that is one part of it. That the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are auspicious and it's a lead up to the main event of Yawmun Nahri and the Day of Sacrifice. Yes, that is the highlight. But so appreciated are the days that lead up it, that there is reward in fasting every day and making ibadat every night. And Isha Salah, different masajid, 7, Karapa 7, you go home, even if you want to have a cup of tea, by 8 o'clock you're ready. Ready for what? For ibadat. From 8 to 10, at least we can make ibadat. Even if a person cannot wake up in the early hours of the morning, but make ibadat. Let it be that we show the importance. Subhanallah. You know, we talk about inna iddat ash-shuhuri 'indallahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard minha arba'atun hurum. That the cycle of the Islamic calendar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's 12 months. From the 12, minha arba'atun hurum. 4 months are sacred months. And those sacred months, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. These 4 months are sacred that even the people of ignorance, the people that maybe if we speak about them, we say they were the scum of the earth. They were so despicable. You can't believe the actions they would do. They would inherit wars. If you ask a person, why are you fighting? You see, Angaz, I don't know. My father was fighting those people. You don't know why? He says, yeah, I saw my father fighting, so I'm also fighting. You see, you bring your daughter alive. See, how can you can't be more wretched than that? Why do you bury your daughter alive? But those same people who we will call the people of jahiliyyah and ignorance, yas'alunaka 'ani ash-shahri al-harami qitalin fi. Is it permissible to fight in ashhurul hurum, the sacred months? No. Even the people of jahiliyyah would honor the sacred month at least. Even this month, he would honor it. He would drop his armor and his sword. He says, there's no fighting. For this reason, there was the interpolation, meaning the changing of the months. They would change the months to suit the warfare. If a person feels, I'm ready for the war, he'll change next month. He say, next month going to be Muharram, change it. Let's make it another month so it's permissible. Why even the man of ignorance would adhere to the sacredness of the month of Ashhurul Hurum? So let us adhere to the sacredness of these months, that we also be careful as a person goes to Makkah Mukarramah, then we don't want to violate, you don't want to miss a salah. Even in South Africa, Allah forgive us if we're weak and we're not performing Fajr salah. Makkah Mukarramah, you'll never miss any salah. Even if we don't have sunnah in my life in South Africa, you go Medina, Tayyiba, you want to make sure every sunnah, you'll buy one miswak also. You say, let me make miswak. At least in Medina Munawwara, I'll make miswak. You want to try. So these are the sacred months. We have to try to avoid sinning and we have to excel in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafsa radiallahu anha, she has mentioned, recorded in Musnad Ahmad, she says, أَرْبَعٌ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَدَعُهُنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. There were four actions, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم never ever left it out. سِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَاشُورَ, the fast of Ashura was one. وَالْعَشْر, meaning the 10 days or the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم always fasted the entire 9 days. And وَثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ, 3 days every month. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we fast at least 3 days every month. And she says, وَرَكْعَتَيْن قَبْلَ الْغَدَاتِ, the 2 rakats of the Fajr salah, sunnah, that was never ever missed out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always ensured that those 2 rakats before the Fajr salah was performed. And especially, by the time we come next week, will already be Ashura. The next Jumu'ah would be the day of Ashura, rather the day of the Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah for us in South Africa. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in Sahih Muslim, Siyamu, the fasting, Siyamu Yawmi Arafah, أحتسب على الله تعالى أن يكفر السنة التي قبلها والسنة التي بعدها. A person who fasts on the day of Arafah, he will get the forgiveness of last year's sins and the forthcoming year also, meaning the upcoming year, sins are forgiven. So let us ensure, let us try to the level best inshallah, that we will try and fast these days of the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. The 10 day, that's not permissible. But the Friday at least, because Qurbani and the day of Nahar will be on Saturday. So on Friday at least, if I'm weak and I cannot fast, but Friday I will make sure inshallah that I will be fasting inshallah. But from now to then, what do I prepare? Is my preparation driving to on farm, phoning a farmer, what you got for me, how many kilos, and what breed you have, no, I want this and I want that mutton. Is it about that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly sounds the message to every one of us. And that message is for us. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your meat doesn't reach me. Whether you do a wagyu, don't wag your tail about it. Whether you're doing pure bread Angus, whether you're doing Ile de France, Hampshire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you enjoy the meat. Meat is for you, not for me. Meat doesn't reach me. Not the amount of blood, not to say, you know, I could slaughter so many cows or so many animals. It wasn't about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your taqwa is going to reach me. Now what's taqwa in Qurbani? Taqwa we heard in the month of Ramadan, taqwa everywhere else. What's taqwa about the Qurbani? That we avoid show. There shouldn't be any pride. We should be careful. Sometimes a person wants to buy a big animal. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless you. Whatever is your intention, Allah reward you. You want to sacrifice, you want to show, give people meat and you give more people more meat. Alhamdulillah. Edible, something can be cooked. You also enjoy it. And you want to give people, very good. But now to put that on the status to say, come my house, I've got 190 kilogram lamb ram. What's that for? Why everyone has to come and see your lamb? We want to see it on the day of Qiyamah, whether you'll pass the Sirat with it. Will it be there or not? Will it be able to cross or not? That's the question. And on the day of Qurbani, we have to caution ourselves, caution our women folk, and caution society. It's not a celebration where we just dress anyhow. That's an ibadat. Does anyone go to Kaaba Sharif and say, as long as I kiss Hajrul Aswad, that's all? No, you want to be clad correctly. You want to be dressed appropriately. So as men, we have to be dressed appropriately. The women folk has to be dressed appropriately. Imagine we take in all the women to see one big animal or few big animals being cut, yet fitna is happening. Is that the spirit of Qurbani? Or are we destroying that ibadat? Therefore, yes, we all understand that the women also want to see certain, they want to see. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did tell Aisha radiallahu anha, at least witness your animal being slaughtered. But that's within the confines of the Sharia. It's very important that we adhere to the every aspect of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that from now till the day of Qurbani, we start preparing on our taqwa, preparation of Allah consciousness, that when I am going to be slaughtering that animal, my Allah is watching me, my Allah is listening to me, and my Allah is aware of exactly what I'm going to be doing. But that is the day of Qurbani, the masail we need to learn, etc. Alhamdulillah. But just one point and then we will close the topic inshallah. With regards to this Qurbani, one is the sacrificing of the animal. But our commemorating this Udhiyah and Qurbani by the slaughtering of an animal was the courageous deed of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he was ready to put the knife on the neck of his son for the sake of Allah. Now we ask ourselves, if wahi, the doors of wahi and revelation are closed, if some command had to come and say, every male father, your sacrifice this year is, please, Gaza have given their sons, I want you to give one of your sons. I don't want all. Gaza has given many. They've given. But you give one son only for me. And take that knife and slaughter your son for me. What we say? Say, Allah, you sure? Which son? No, you tell me. But maybe the next son. Or we'll go try get another son. Ibrahim alayhi salam, no questions. Immediately ready to put that knife. Now that's that sacrifice that's required from us. We are asked to commemorate a sacrifice. And sacrifices, we have to be able to slaughter our desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, if what's happening in Gaza is not a wake-up call, wallahu alam, what's left to happen? What's left for us to see? If Gaza is not a wake-up call for us, wallahu alam, what else? So let us wake up. We have to be changing our lives. Remember, we are not a people of an area. We're not a people of a locality. We are an ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are part of a bigger picture. We're part of a unit. Every single person makes a difference. Like a team, one person can make it or break it. Similar is an ummah. It only requires one for things to go haywire. Let's take any machine. A machine, let's say there's a toy for a child. That toy, let's say it takes 8 batteries. It takes 8 batteries. You buy 8 brand new batteries. Each one of them, 1, 2, 3, all 7 you put in the right direction. Plus, positive, minus, negative. Each one correctly. Only one battery is wrong. Will that toy ever work? One battery is off. It'll never work. We are asking for Allah's mercy to come. Am I perhaps that battery who's facing the wrong direction? Maybe my heart is not facing Allah. Maybe my actions are not facing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah. Perhaps it's me because of which the help of Allah is being withheld. Now these are the days. Put the knife on those desires. I have enjoyed. How much more are we going to enjoy? Alhamdulillah. Now it's time to change our lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one alim so sadly says it. He says, Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready to sacrifice his son for the command of Allah. He says, today the fathers are ready to sacrifice the command of Allah as long as my son is happy. Better as long as you are happy. Don't worry. Whatever it is, don't worry. You need to be happy. Whatever he wants, give it to him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Every one of you is a shepherd, responsible for his flock. We are responsible for our sons, for our daughters. We have to take care of them. Imagine the people of Gaza, their sacrifices. The mother has become shaheeda. She's shaheed. She has become a martyr. And they in this happened end of last year. It was just before one of the attacks. And as they are asked now at the ceasefire to go back home, there are three children in a tent. So they come and they ask these children, listen, dismantle, we're moving, going back home. So the children says, where's home? Where's home? Mother became shaheed here. Where's home? He say, at least your father. He says, before we separated, we don't know where our father was. We've got no contact with him. So anyway, there's children inside. 13-year-old, 11 and a 7-year-old or something like that. But they said, okay, let's go home. And this 11-year-old, he's still got a smile on the face. 11-year-old, he's got a smile, 11 or 12 years old, got a smile on the face. So that person from Gaza is saying, but why do you smile? So that young boy is saying, why shouldn't I smile when I became a Hafiz al-Quran in the tent? How you became Hafiz al-Quran? My mother taught my biggest sister. She became Hafiza by my mother. My sister now taught me. I qualified. You see, and what else? Imagine in a blockade, living in a tent, becoming Hafiz al-Quran. Brothers, where are we going to stand on the day of Qiyamah? We got acorns. Acorn is running. You got food prepared, put on the table for you time to time. We're not eating because he's hungry. We're eating because the time is up. Yet they still became Hufaz of the Quran. Kullukum ra'in. What legacy are we leaving for our children? He said, take care of your reputation. It lives longer than you. Take care of your legacy. It will live on and you will die. We are only going to become the end of it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But what have I left for my son? Have I left Quran Sharif so he can say, Papa taught me Quran? Have I left Sunnah so they've seen this is the salvation of the time? Have I left Sadaqah for them? What have I left for him? Am I taking him to the masjid? Why am I going to the masjid? My responsibility is not perform Salah as a father. My responsibility as a father is to take him for Salah. I am performing. I have to make sure I take him. The choice of words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. You're a shepherd. Each one of us is a shepherd. We know if you've got one farm and there's a herdsman, an example, you've got 50 cattle. If you go at the weekend or he phones you and he says, boss, one missing. You say, I'm going to check the cameras. One missing, you sure? How one missing? Check up properly. You're responsible. You're the herdsman. You in charge. You're the shepherd. How that one got missing? Are we not going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I leave you your beautiful masoom children. What message are you writing on it? There has to be active parenthood from every one of us. The time is over. We can't be slitting back, giving them a cell phone and say, grow up, listen to the bayan. No. Active fathers and mothers we need to become. Parenting has to be an active thing, not a passive thing. So Nabi Sam says, Kullukum ra'in, you're a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? There's head count. Animals are leaving, he'll count how many animals leaving. Animals are returning, he counts. I took 40 out, 40 are back in. That's a shepherd. That the father is watching his children. And there's a head count. All my children are in. Everyone's home. When his son is coming 1-2 o'clock in the morning, he doesn't even know his son came. He said, no, when I came Isha time, he was there. And then when he sneaked out, you don't even know about it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kullukum ra'in. And a shepherd, what will he do? He'll take his animals, he'll choose the correct pasture for it. Ask the farmers, Don't take your animals where the grass is too long, nor too short. We don't even know all these things. So the farmer is saying, Mawlana, it mustn't be too short, because when it picks the grass up, there can be certain insects that will give them a disease and a... Wallahu alam. It mustn't be too long, because they can get ticks. It must be at a certain height, then they must graze. And isn't that a father? You need to look at the pastures you take in your children to. Is this something that's healthy, or is it dangerous, my son, for my daughter? Can they be in this environment, supervised, unsupervised, or is it taboo for them to be in this environment? We have to choose the circles of friends, the environments that they want to be in. I'm responsible as a shepherd. And then what will the shepherd do? He's got a very careful eye on his animals. He'll sit in the shade, but he's watching his animals. They shouldn't go close to danger. Are any one of us active? Whatever damage is done, you've given the phone. Did anyone go through the contact list of your son to see, bye, sit down next to me, I want to see your phone. Right, okay. Some are so active. One father was saying, Mawlana, that software costed me 2,000, but I don't mind paying it. I'll pay, no, more than 2,000. Anyway, the division of it came to 2,000 a phone. For 5 phones, yeah, so 10,000 rand. He said, I'll buy the software for 10,000 and I'll give my children the phone, but I can see every activity of this. Which app, what he did, anytime I can log in to see what he's doing. That's my condition if you want a phone. If you want a phone, I have to see what you are doing. Do we ever go through it to see, I want to see your contact list? And sometimes you'll be, these children are so sharp. I think so, you know, technology is overtaking us. They will save the name as Ahmed, perhaps that's Amina's phone number. You won't even know about it. Anyway, we're not teaching all tricks, huh, youngsters. But we have to be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we be active in our parenting, grant us the tawfiq and the ability. Brothers, we have to create the future. The future is in our houses, in our homes, our own children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana.